kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
As usual, a title for us to consider today, and the title is The Cross Will Produce That Gold. The Cross Will Produce That Gold. And I want to take this today from the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, from verse 1. And here it speaks about where God purges. And whenever God is about to do something, and he's coming to visit, to restore, to heal, to deliver, he will always first purge. And in the context of what we're looking here in chapter 3 of Malachi, it speaks of John the Baptist, the forerunner, coming before to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And what is taking place here is that there is to be a purging of the sons of Levi. And this is a work that is done under the Old Testament, because he's preparing the way for Messiah to come, who will fulfill all the demands of the law, which, as we read, Israel and all the saints, they could not fulfill the demands of the law. There was only one who could do this, and it was Messiah, Jesus himself. And here we are now at the end of this dispensation, where we are being prepared for the second coming of Christ. We now see a parallel with what God is doing. And now he's working this spiritually now in the church, with the overcomers, those who are preparing for the coming of the Lord. And as we look at this, we see almost a duality, a type of what took place under the old covenant. We now are seeing what is going to happen under the new covenant. But the same work is the same. God has to prepare. And the overcomers, the sons of God, are now a type of John the Baptist, who he prepared the way, the message of repentance and salvation and baptism, preparing the way for the coming of Christ. So now the church, the overcomers, are preparing the way for the second coming of Christ, where he's going to come and rule and reign upon the earth, and he's going to put down all wickedness and rebellion and the very devil himself. And so, bearing that in mind, let's take this up then from verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So he's referring to the fact that God has decreed it, it's happening. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And we are finding now that God again is coming like a refiner's fire, like soap, a launderer's soap, in which he's cleansing us, refining us for the coming of the Lord. What for? That we are an offering in righteousness. And we have to see that God is going to place on the altar the first fruits of the harvest, and the rest will come, will be harvested. But the offering of the harvest, which was 10% placed upon the altar, we see that this harvest is very good, and it's an offering in righteousness. In other words, it has been refined. It is the best that comes out of the harvest, and the rest is to follow. And that is what God is doing with the sons of God. And this is why we preach the deeper life, which is the cross, that we are to take up daily and follow as well, which we will look at and talk about, for the purpose that it must produce gold. Why gold? Because gold is the most precious metal. It also speaks of silver as well. But what is the purpose behind it? So that it is refined, that it will reflect. It will reflect Jesus's face when he looks upon the gold and the silver. Just like when you look into a mirror, it reflects your face. So with what he's doing, working with us, his face will be reflected in this gold. And that's why we know that our trials are our biggest challenge. And they come in all forms and shapes and so on. And God is teaching us that every trial we face, whether it is small or great, is for the purpose to refine, so that his image will be seen. And he says that this will be offered before our Father in righteousness. In other words, we are offered up to the Lord. It's in many words Jesus saying, I offer this to you, Father. This offering is in my image. And we know that whatever Jesus offers to the Father, it will always be accepted, because he now sits as the high priest at the right hand of the Father. And this is the work he's doing now. And it is the trials that produce this. And it's also the trials that show us where we are in the faith. Trials are to expose what is lacking in order to get it right. Else God won't allow us to go through those trials. As we know, and we say it so often, the trials of our faith are tailor-made. They are absolutely perfect for you. Not for your other brother or sister in Christ. They are perfect for you, for the purpose that you will be purified as gold, as God will not allow us to go through it. And we know some trials are absolutely in the natural horrendous. You can't get your mind around it. Very often, we want to try and stop our brother and sister going through this trial. But we must not interfere. What we must do is stand with one another, believe with one another. When one goes through that trial, we are going through it as well. We must not hinder the purifying work that God is doing with each of us, even if it offends us at times or causes us to question or question the faith. We must not interfere. That is the will of God, to refine, to bring forth gold. And eventually we get this as we grow in unity and fellowship and oneness. We eventually get it where we say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why my brother or my sister goes through what they go through, but you have everything under control. And I simply offer this up in intercession. And this is why it's so important to pray in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit and supplicating, we're praying something that is so deep and profound that God is doing for our brother or sister, that it just requires praying in tongues. It's too deep. And we get a glimpse of this as we look in Malachi. As I said, there's a duality attached to this, to what we read there that took place under John the Baptist is now taking place and happening again. That is why we say so often, what God does and the works that he does, there's nothing new under the sun. This is the same work that God works for every true saint who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and who desires to walk in fellowship with him. We see this principle working. It runs right through the Bible from the Old Testament to the New. All our brothers and sisters who are the host of witnesses now have gone through similar purification with what we are going through as well. You see, trials will only start to make sense when we are walking daily with our cross. You cannot leave the cross out of trials. They are a part of our overcoming. And so the cross is essential that we take up daily and follow, which we're told to do. When we do this and we settle the cross, then we start to begin to understand what trials are about. The cross, in many ways, enables the grace of God to work in the trial. We spoke on that the other week, where God spoke to the Apostle Paul and said that my grace is sufficient. And indeed it is. But we can really only understand that and experience that when the cross is also in our life. And we know that the cross deals with the self-life. It's the self-life that gets in the way. The self-life will stop you going through that trial. We will always look for an escape if the self-life is not being crucified daily. It is human nature. It's what we do. It's that survival that's in us. And yet the cross comes right across that and says, you do not have to survive. You do not have to defend yourself. You do not have to struggle to live. I will live through you. I will take over. And we're all learning that one, aren't we? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has come to take over. And so many Christians miss this one, or they don't understand it. But as I say, keep coming, keep listening, and eventually it drops that 18 inches. And suddenly you get it. My life now is not my life. I have been bought with a price. I have been taken over. I have been purchased. I have allowed myself to become a slave for Christ, a servant for Christ. I have given him permission to do this work in me and through me. And indeed, he's going to do it, and he will do it. But he won't do it unless you ask him. You see, God never forces himself on us. This is why he's given us that free will. But when we allow him to take the reins of our life, then we're going to understand these trials that we go through that are tailor-made for the purpose to produce this gold. And we know that gold has to be refined. It has to be purified. In other words, the heat has to be turned up 7 times hotter to purify this gold. And that's why in our flesh, we cannot separate Jesus and the cross. The cross is for the purpose to deal with flesh. And when we're talking about flesh, we're also talking about unbelief, where we still don't believe as we should. We're not settled yet upon these promises of God. And so the cross does that work. And of course, Jesus had to walk the same. He had to go through the same spiritual working. And so we too go through the same. He's now gone forth. He has overcome. He is the overcomer. Now, seated at the right hand of the Father, we too now can overcome as we allow his overcoming life to live in and through me. And so when you face your next trial, or you are going through a trial, remember this: I will overcome because the overcomer lives in me. He has overcome all things, and I will as well. We don't know how it's going to be done or achieved or when, but we know that it is. It's done. And that's what he wants for us. You see, he doesn't want us trying to work out these trials all the time. We're not going to understand them because they don't make any sense. Let's face it, in the natural, why should a good person who is upright, who gets on with everyone, pays their taxes, doesn't rebel in against government or police or whatever it is, why should a good person go through that trial? Why should that be happening to them? It doesn't make any sense. Have you heard that? Have you heard it said in your families? Have you not heard your wife or your husband or whatever it is? You said it yourself before you were saved. And we still say it at times. It doesn't make any sense why a good person should go through what they are going through. And people use that and they say, if there was a God of love, he wouldn't allow this to happen. It doesn't make any sense. But that's the carnal mind. That is a fallen mind trying to understand the ways of Almighty God. And you can't. The only way you begin to start to understand this is when you go to the cross. The cross is the answer to all these questions. I know I've gone through this, so I'm speaking from experience, but I've had to settle it. It is the cross that will give me the answer to this trial and what I'm going through. This is why we have such verses in Acts 14 and verse 22. The book of Acts 14 and verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations or trials enter the kingdom of God. They understood, the early church understood the trials and the tribulations in which to enter the kingdom of God. We know little of that in the Western world. The church knows little about real trials that are tailor-made in which to enter the kingdom of God. But things are rapidly changing, brothers and sisters. We are going to see again, yes, in the Western world, the church going through tribulation, being purged, persecution. Why is God going to permit the Western church to go through this? Because she has to get back to the cross. The cross is left out of the message and teaching today in most contemporary churches. And the cross is the center of the message, the Christian faith, the Word of God, the Bible that you hold. That is why. Why are we making so much about the cross? Because the cross is about resurrection. And resurrection is that gold that's purified and purged. That is the promise. If you only just look at death, death, death all the time, which it is to the self-life, our faith from the death looks to the resurrection. This is why I always combine the two. If you just major on the cross and death, death all the time, it will become negative. That won't do its work. The cross is about death and resurrection. But we cannot run away from the death aspect, which God is working. But you see, he never keeps you in that state. Thank God he never kept our Saviour in that state of death. It had to take death in which he was raised up in glory. So that is the hope of the cross and its teaching. We know very often that they hung there as victims on a cross for hours and hours, waiting for death to come, to escape what they were going through. And in many ways, it's the same with us. When we go through these trials, these deep trials, your longing for death to take over because I can't take any more, it's enough. And God knows how much we can take. And he has promised and he said he won't allow us or permit us to be tried and tested above that which we're able to endure. So God knows how much we can take with the cross experience. And when he says the cross has done its work, enough, then resurrection comes in like a light and takes over. And the cross has done its work. And what does God see? He sees gold. And he sees his image in you. What the cross has done. Trust me, God has this under control. He is absolutely sovereign. And he's not going to let you be damaged. He's not going to let you be destroyed in any way. He has this utterly and completely under control. And that's why we have books like the book of Job, where God only gave Satan so much access, but he made it very clear how far he could go. And it is the same with you and I. In the trials that we go through and are going through. You see, we have to settle on the fact that there is a price to pay for being a disciple of Christ. And we know that a lot of modern Christianity wants to water all of this down, but you can't. There is a price that is attached to it, like anything. And we see this, don't we, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There we are. He says they will suffer persecution. So we have to settle on that one. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through persecution. We're going to be misunderstood. We're going to find that people don't like the message that we preach and that we share. People will become offended. But that doesn't matter. We stay with what we know is right. And that is the Christian gospel. That is its message. That is the walk that we walk. And it doesn't always outwardly look respectable. But who are we going to be remain faithful to at the end of the day? That is the question. You see, gold can only be produced when one's eyes are only on Christ and Christ alone. And so a lot of these trials that God allows us to go through is because they're working in us to be focused on Jesus. We ask about it, don't we? We pray about it. We sing songs about looking to Jesus and so on. But God knows that at times that's lip service. He has to allow a trial, a purging, so that you will experience and know that your eyes are looking to him and no other. And only a trial can produce that knowledge, that understanding that you need to have. Because your faith in God and his promises is needed for you to be looking to Jesus, because you can't separate any of it. A lot of the time where we don't always believe as we should, because our eyes are not fixed on him. And this, of course, is about relationship. And so it takes a trial. It takes the cross to do that work. Maybe you're going through something right now, the trial of your faith, but I can assure you that what is also attached with that trial is that God is getting you to have your eyes fixed solely on him. We're not always. And there are many, many things that expose why we're not looking to him as we should. When we hear a bad report, or we hear something that outwardly shocks us, who are you looking to? Who are you listening to at that point? Are you listening to what man is saying? Or are you listening to God's report? That tells you who you're looking at. You see? This is why God allows these trials to purge us, for that very reason. Because very often we think, well, who can have one's eyes looking to the Lord daily, 24/7? Well, it is impossible in the natural, but God can and does work that. And that is the whole point. And so we should be, instead of questioning whether that is possible or not, we should be saying it is possible and God is working that in me, so that my eyes, my heart, my whole affection, my whole being is looking to Jesus 24/7. And God is working that in me. He's working it in us right now as we're in this room listening to this teaching. How he does it? Well, it's miraculous, but he does it. And that's why when we're on that cross that we take up each day and we follow, we're hanging on that cross. And what are we waiting for with that cross? We are waiting for death to come to bring resurrection. And that's why we say, I am going through a trial, or this is the trial of my faith. What are you actually saying there? Well, you're saying, I'm enduring, I'm remaining faithful by the grace and mercy of God. But what you're really saying, or what that is really indicating, I'm on this cross. I'm crucified, I'm hanging on it, and I'm waiting for death to take over, for resurrection. That is not wrong. That is actually what it's about. And that is why it's called the trials of our faith. And when we begin to understand that, then we start to understand God's grace. My grace is sufficient for this. And it is. And remember that God's grace is sufficient for you. Not for somebody else, or what trial your brother or sister's going through. The grace that God reveals to you is personally for you. For me. It's right. It's God there enabling you to remain crucified on the cross. The grace is there for the work to be accomplished. That's why we need to look when Jesus hung on the cross like he did. What were we seeing there at that display? We were seeing the Father's grace being sufficient there for his Son. And he knew that. He drew from that. That was his strength until he finally gave up the ghost. And it's the same for us, brothers and sisters. That's why in your testimonies of where God's brought you through a trial or whatever it would be, you can't fully understand it. All you know is that God did something through me in bringing me through this trial that I know could never have happened in the natural. You see, that is what gives God the glory. And that is where gold is seen. We also know that with the cross, this is where faith comes in. Our faith is in the faithfulness of God, my Father. I know him. I know he's faithful. I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. Even though we are tempted, even though we can hear that comes out of our mouth, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet we know deep in our hearts he hasn't and he won't. Then we know prayer is also a key part in all of this. This is why he tells us to pray. This is why he says, my house is a house of prayer. Because we pray one for another. We pray what we're going through. We find ourselves praying, Lord, help me to be faithful in this trial I'm going through. Help me to remain on the cross in this. How often have we prayed those prayers before the Lord? Or we should be. And another thing about the cross, you will know if you are on the cross because you have a vision. And that vision is sonship, overcomers, wise virgins, the first fruits. You need that vision, and there is nothing like the cross in trial that gives you the vision of this last day. And I've already opened up with it. We read it back in Malachi. God is purging the sons of Levi. What is Levi? The priesthood. And we're called a royal priesthood. And the priests have to purify. They had to wash before they could go into the presence of God to do their duties in offering up sacrifice. Can you see the same parallel again? He's purging us because we are destined for the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest could ever go in once a year to atone for Israel. And he had to make sure he was right. He was purified. He was clean. Because if he wasn't, he would be struck dead in the presence, in the holies of holies. And we see these types, these parallels, what God is doing with us. So your trial or what you're going through is purging you, is preparing you, it's washing you and I for the presence of the Lord that's coming. And we're going to meet him in the air. When he calls us, he raptures us or snatches us away. But we've got to be purified for that. And that's why you have parables like the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. I bring this again to your thinking. They are 10 virgins. Yes, they are believers because they're virgins. But 5 of them use wisdom. They understood what trials were about. They sought God. They began to see the cross. Whereas the foolish, they don't want to see that. They're in denial. We've so many in our churches today that are in denial. But they're going to face it. They will face purging. And they're going to face it through the great tribulation. Because not all the church is going up in the rapture. It is going to be the first fruits. And I know that offends. Some don't like that. Because it's easy to preach all believers are going up. Not all believers are going up. If you really study the scriptures and the book of Revelation. Even we are to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. Even we have to say, Lord, in your mercy, work with me so that I will be amongst the first fruits. None of us can take this for granted. We all walk by faith, believing, trusting in these promises. So we see then, don't we, that the cross reveals the vision. The cross in many ways is revelation. This is why God now in these last days through the outpouring of the Spirit is speaking to us by direct revelation. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We know when the great shepherd is calling. We know when it's God. I always know when it's God. And one of the tests that I know when it's God, because I cannot walk it in the natural. It challenges me. That tells me then it's God. Because narrow is the way that leads into the kingdom of heaven. And most preach the broad way. But praise God, he's had mercy on us. And we're hearing not with the head, but with the heart. And that's why, as I bring this to a conclusion, that the good news in all of this is the resurrection that comes out of this. And that's why your Father in heaven has a plan for you, for the purpose of his glory. And the plan he has for you is to raise you up. As he raised his Son up in glory, the plan is to raise you and I up for his glory. But you have to settle this. You have to settle the fact that gold has to come forth. Gold has to come forth in my life. And we can't deny that. We can't run away from the reality of that. Why? Because we need purifying. And it's already there. We're already saved. Redeemed by faith, but it's not fully seen or appreciated. Why is it not fully seen or appreciated, this gold? Because God is still dealing with unbelief, and unbelief is sin. That's why. But it's there. It's all potentially there, but he has to purify. What does he say as I bring it to a close in the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. It says here, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. So here we are, we're seeing now that this is a spiritual work. John the Baptist came doing a physical work, still under the law. But now this high priest, who is Jesus, is now doing a spiritual work of purification, not with the blood of goats and of calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So it's not only speaking about eternal life, it speaks about your inheritance. I love that. It's what you're destined for. You are to share the throne with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is mind-boggling. But that is what he says. And that's why we're being purified. It's the nature of our office, our calling, our future ministry. We are his royal priesthood, and priesthoods have jobs to do. They minister not only unto God, but to the people. And that is what you're being trained for the future. But we have to be purified. Not all are going to hold this office. It's going to be for the first fruits, the overcomers. And that's why it takes the cross for resurrection, for blessing, so that we can inherit these promises. Because these promises yet have not been given out. They're there. But God is purging and purifying now overcomers, because they are to inherit. And that's the mind and heart of God. Let God be God. He knows exactly what he's doing. Who can tell him? He has this under complete control. And this is why, as I close now, the cross will produce that gold in your life. Don't put it down, but take it up daily, as he tells us, and follow him. And the cross, which is the trials and the testings of your faith, will, if you remain and stay with it, it will bring that gold in your life. And that gold is to reflect the image of Jesus' face. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. We know, Lord, that this word has all our name and address on it. But these are signs that you love us. You don't want us to be deceived or to deceive ourselves. You present the truth to us, as challenging as it is. And you know that in ourselves we can't take it. We can't take it on. But it's just as we make ourselves available and that we say, Lord, do whatever it takes in my life, then we are giving you that permission to take over and to do that work. so that we will come forth purified as gold. Because you are now purging the sons of Levi. And not all want that purging. They're running away, thinking that they can go elsewhere, but we can't. There's only one way, and it is forward. It is our hands to the plough and not looking back. And we thank you, Father, that you have given us all the grace, all and everything and more, in which to be able to overcome and make it in these last days.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.